make sure that we're picking everything up. What we try to do, of course, is get behind the written record and look at those events and circumstances that led to what is already in print. And
there's no way I can shut it off. Last week, I'm on. You're working now?
Yes, it's on now.
If
there's something you want.
Well, I just leave it. Turn it off for a second.
Okay. I guess we can get started then. This is Jim Boning of the Center for History of Chemistry, speaking with Professor Daniel Othmer, Donald Othmer, in his office at the Polytechnic University in Brooklyn, on April 2nd, 1986. Professor Othmer, you were born on May 11th, 1904 in Omaha, Nebraska. Can you tell me something about your father, Frederick, and your mother, Frederica?
Well, very dear people, of course. My father was in the sheet metal business, installing furnaces and sheet metal roofs and similar ductwork for factories. And that sort of thing. My mother was very active in many church-related activities, and I grew up in very modest financial circumstances. In fact, I often said I've earned every dime I've ever spent since I was 10 years old. First being a paper route where I worked for 35 cents a week. The paper route was only about 3 miles long, but after a year or two I graduated to a dollar a week for one that was twice that many steps to encompass. I went to the public schools in Omaha and was fortunate to proceeded a somewhat more rapid race than most of my peers, particularly memorable was my professor of chemistry at Omaha Central High School, which was one of the fine high schools of the country in those days, as noted in various publications reviewing, and as I remember, had one of the highest rates of students going on to ultimately to get PhDs of any high school in the country. My professor, Dr. Center, had received his doctor's degree at Heidelberg in chemistry in about 98. He had been the professor of my wife's mother, and years later of my wife also, all in the same high school. He was by far the most enthusiastic and best teacher of any of the professors I had in the several colleges or universities which I attended afterward.
When did you took your first chemistry then in high school? Did you have any previous exposure to science?
No, not except in reading. I was a very vigorous reader in those days, and I've often said I have probably read more books before I was 16 than I've read since, although I've done much more writing since then. But I did enjoy reading various books on the various sciences, and whatever came to hand otherwise. I was developed a considerable mechanical ability, and was my hobby was all sorts of mechanics of any type, woodworking or metalworking, which I was able to do.
Did your father have any influence in that?
Yes, my father, of course, had a shop, and I had a good time working with his tools and with his, not particularly with his own work, but making various items of furniture, etc., and other mechanical work.
Until you took your chemistry at Central High, had you given any thought about what you would do after you left high school?
No, not particularly. As I say, Dr. Senner inspired me to do something in chemistry, and I did enjoy the mathematics courses as were taught there, particularly geometry and solid geometry, and I remember my teacher then asking me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I supposed it would be something in engineering. This was before I'd met Dr. Senner in my senior year, and of course the combination was chemical engineering, which I've fortunately been able to follow ever since.
Were there any particular books that you said you did a lot of reading at this time? Were there any particular books that you recall that had any influence on you?
No, I don't recall any particular books. I read the popular mechanics and the popular science and other, but I didn't have any regular scientific literature come my way, so there was I remember a book by Slocum, I believe it was, chemistry, I forget now the title, having to do with chemistry and its relation to industry, and particularly in its relation to the culture of mankind.
You graduated from high school in 1921, I believe, and then went to Armour Institute.
Yes,
in Chicago.
I had a scholarship that was given by the Board of Education in Omaha, and also Armour Institute then added the tuition scholarship to that. So I went for 2 years to Chicago as a student in chemical engineering.
Was that scholarship from the Board of Ed directly for Armour Institute?
No.
Did you have your
choice? No, as a matter of fact, I had also scholarship tuition from one or two other schools, one of which was Case, but that was twice as far from home, and I knew nothing to make me want to go there, so I went to the Armour Institute as being the closer.
You were there 2 or 3 years?
I was there 2 years. And the head of the department then was so typical of professors of chemical engineering in those days. He was a chemist, Professor McCormick. His idea of chemical engineering was this: we must train a man or a student to be a first-class analytic chemist, because that's the only place he will get a start in industry. That's the only place that there is for chemists in industry, is as an analytic chemist. So if he is a first-class analytic chemist, he may have a chance to fly into something on a larger scale than the milligrams of analytic chemistry, and might ultimately get into design of plants or something. But on the other hand, in order to start, he must be a top analytic chemist. So we had an awful lot of analytic chemistry in those 2 years, which I detested. Came the summer of my sophomore year, the program called for spending the complete summer in analytic chemistry, rock analysis, and gravimetric analysis, which I detested the use of the tools as they were then available for analysis of rocks and other materials. On the other hand, I had taken various courses in addition to my curriculum, and I found that by if I were to transfer to the University of Nebraska, I would be able to get my bachelor's degree or very nearly within 1 year. I would be short 3 or 4 credit hours. When I came to register then at the University of Nebraska, I found that one was limited, unlike other schools, to taking only 18 hours a semester, which would have been 36 hours. I needed, I think, 39. So I read the catalog thoroughly and found a sentence in it that said, entering students, if they have taken an unusual number of courses in chemistry, in an unusual number of courses in high school, may apply to take an examination in those courses within the first semester after they enter, and if they pass that, they will be given college credit. Obviously, this was for freshmen only, and I would have been entering as a junior at least, but nevertheless, that was the wording, and the dean went along with that reading. So I had taken solid geometry, which I had enjoyed, and which I had received a mark of 104% out of a possible 100, because I had done some extra problems that were originals, and the teacher always added 1, 2, or 3%, depending on the difficulty of those problems, to the final grade. So I took the course then in solid geometry, although meanwhile I'd had analytic geometry in college, which really was no particular help, however, to the solid geometry. The unfortunate thing in taking a course in an exam in geometry, a long time after you've taken the course, you don't remember which theorem follows which. So there were 10 theorems given for me to prove in this by the professor who gave me the exam, and I looked them over. Couldn't see any way of starting one of them, but then went and did 9 of them. But the unfortunate thing was I didn't know which theorem I could say is the basis of my proof, because I didn't know whether that was indeed the basis. So what I had to do was prove each of these 10 long theorems back to the axioms, which I did, and I got 90 on the exam. The other exam was in mechanical drawing, which I'd had in high school and which I had enjoyed doing. I'm still a fair draftsman. But meanwhile, I'd taken engineering drawing, and so there was no trouble in passing that. I don't know whether that rule is still in the catalog of the University of Nebraska, but it did enable me to make 3 points, or 4, whichever it was, that I had to have, and so I was able to graduate in my third collegiate year. Promptly, I got a job. My pal at the university and I had wanted to spend that summer on a canoe trip down the Missouri River to New Orleans, starting at Omaha, because we had a canoe and we enjoyed that. Unfortunately, his father said he had to go to work. I also was out of money for the first time in my life, and only time in my life. I had to borrow money, some $40 from my father. I soon paid that back, however, because I got two jobs. One in the daytime as an analytic chemist at the Cudahy Packing Company. This time not doing gravimetric analysis, but doing various other instrumentation analysis, so it wasn't so bad. Besides, the packing industry was very interesting. In the evening, I got a job which my father's friends in the sheet metal workers union provided. I taught them descriptive and solid geometry, how to make transition sections between cones and other cylinders or other ductwork, or to make indeed what we call warp surfaces, surfaces which are not delineated by, or not formed by, a straight line as a cone or a cylinder is. That was also very interesting. So that summer I had two jobs, one in the day and one in the evening. I went down to the fraternity house in Lincoln, to the University of Nebraska, during the summer, and found a envelope on the Newell Post. The fraternity house, a fraternity house in the summertime, is rather a unorganized operation, and this had been waiting there for me for several days, offering me a fellowship at the Carnegie Institute. I saw that this was several days late, and I was several days late, but I wired them and almost immediately got back a response that unfortunately they had to fill that fellowship immediately because it was only a month until school started, so I missed that. And the fellow and the my scholarship from the university, or from the Board of Education in Omaha, had not been available for my year at the University of Nebraska. That was the reason I ran out of money, because during the year I worked my way as a library assistant in the university library, but that wasn't sufficient, quite sufficient, by $40 for me to finish up. And so I went to the University of Michigan, and at a later time they advised me that I was given a fellowship, or the same scholarship, really it was, scholarship for that that year. I also had a small stipend, $250 a semester, or maybe it was a year, I don't remember, not much by scholarships or fellowships these days, at the University of Michigan as assistant in the evaporator laboratory. I was under Professor Badger, who then I worked under for the next 3 years. This was a somewhat of a challenge, but interesting to me because it involved a great deal of mechanical work in handling rather large equipment and doing the necessary renovations within reason, such as pipe fitting up to 2-inch diameter pipe, which is a rather difficult tread to cut by hand. The first job, Badger said to Osmer, there's some leaking valves over there in the stems, better go pack them. I had never packed a valve, oddly enough, and I was surprised, but I went to the storekeeper and said to Hans, give me the materials for packing a valve. Well, he gave me the necessary graphite coated braided cotton to fill the packing gland, also the wrenches, and a pick to pick out the old packing. Well, seeing these three things, I realized what was to be done, and I packed the valves. There was a fair amount of this to be done because the water in Ann Arbor is extremely hard, and it tends to cause troubles due to corrosion, rusting, and otherwise. So I became an expert in working with the valves. Also with other pipe fitting, one of which was a rather difficult one in front of the evaporator, a cross of about 2 feet square that had 12 fittings, with that's 24 joints that had to be made, and I did the job cutting the threads on those pieces that had to be, using nipples, of course, and the fittings. And just as I was preparing to turn the water on, the boss, Professor Badger, turned up, and he turned on the water, and it leaked in almost every joint. He said, "Osmer, don't worry. Just leave it go. By the day after tomorrow, those will all have been rusted shut." And as a matter of fact, with that hard water in there, they were rusted shut. So I learned that sometimes one didn't have to be as good a pipe fitter as ultimately I did become. So that was I worked my master's year under Badger, who was of the vitrolic, hard-talking professors, bouncing down on every student at every chance, and they, all of us were, of course, quite afraid of him. I remember one always smoking a pipe in class and pacing back and forth of the front of the room, or descending on you if you were at the backboard and blowing smoke in your face. He never was particularly vicious to me, but I remember the chap I was working with on my problem, I working on my master's problem, Larry Phillips, and we, Larry was 2 years farther along than I, and did get his doctor's degree the next spring. But he was more of a scientist than an engineer, and his drawing of the evaporator, which Badger had told him to make, was somewhat less than a working drawing. This was at the board in a half an hour when we were all sent to the board, and Badger then came and looked at him. "Phillips, do you think that thing's going to hold together with hay wire and glue?" Of course, Phillips was very embarrassed. But Badger was not such a bad fellow, after all. It came the end of the semester, and he called me in, and he said, "Osmer, I went through all of your work twice, and I wanted to give you an A, but I couldn't. I had to give you a B." I always appreciated that, because sometimes I had been a little indignant, well-contained indignation, however, when he was quite as rough as he could be. That was the first year. The after that, the summer I sold vacuum cleaners. I wasn't a very good salesman. I was a better vacuum cleaner for ladies' rugs. but I did that and came back to Michigan then, having received my master's degree, but with no fellowship or no scholarship. However, I wrote to the Board of Education, and I said, here, this scholarship which I had was meant for 4 years. I had it 2 years at Armour. I didn't have it at Nebraska because it wasn't given that year. I have had it now once at Michigan, and in these 4 years that I have been in school, of which you've given me the fellowship 3 years, I have received 2 degrees, a bachelor's degree at University of Nebraska and a master's degree at the University of Michigan. Now I'd like to continue my doctoral program, and I'm applying for that. Well, after due process, the Board of Education agreed that since I'd had only 3 years, and it was normally meant for 4 years, they would give it to me for the fourth year, which they did. And so I got it that year, and the same sort of appeal the final year allowed me to get my doctor's degree in my sixth year of study, the three graduate years all being under Badger.
So you did your PhD work at Badger?
So, right? Yes, I had my PhD under Badger in 1927. I had expected, having worked under Badger, whose forte was heat transfer and evaporation, I had expected I would go into the fields which he had followed and for which he was also a consultant, either in the equipment industry or in the salt industry or the sugar industry or some other industry using many evaporators. However, there came from Eastman Kodak along about in March the guy that looks for
a recruiter,
and he interviewed me, and I was really so very busy finishing my thesis that I didn't much pay too much attention to him or to the idea of getting a job with Eastman Kodak, because I didn't think that was something for me. However, in a month or less, I did receive an offer or a request to come down to Rochester and spend a day with them and discuss the possibility of a job, which I did in April sometime, around the 1st of April. The recruiter, who was the chief, a man by the name of Billings, who was the chief recruiter for Eastman, happened to be sick the day I was in Rochester, and so he couldn't be there as my host. I was very well taken care of and enjoyed looking around people's offices and meeting very many nice people, whom I later got to enjoy.